Life Audio.
Hey, welcome to the Gospel Rant. I'm Dr. Bill Sinyard with Gospel App Ministries. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, but we're going to take a break to talk about parenting. We have launched our Good Enough Parenting program. It's online. It's 15 tips, and participants get a single tip every day for 15 days. It's only 10 to 15 minute long tips. The beta test was amazing. Parents of teen and tweens, please take advantage of this. We think we've priced it right. It is absolutely free. If you want to know more, contact me, Bill at gospel-app.com, or you can go to the landing page, goodenoughparent.online. And we're going to be talking about parents and things that parents can do to be more good enough parents. I have with me today a special guest, Blaine Despre. He's from Canada. He was one of the members of our illustrious church plant team back in 1995, and we planted a church just south of Vancouver. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. So, hey, Blaine, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, Bill. Great to be here.
Good. Yeah, you're visiting my home in Denver. We're showing you around. It kind of looks like your home in Kelowna, a little, except for the water, right?
Except for the water and perhaps the size. It's all good.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So, you were telling me, you have a son, Robin, who's, yep. And how old is he? Tell us about Robin.
Robin's 20. He did a one-year stint studying mechanics, decided he didn't want to be a mechanic, and then decided to go into medicine. So he's coming into year two of undergraduate studies in preparation to hopefully get into medicine at some point in time. He's a wonderful young man. He's very cool. He's got a great head on his shoulders. I'm really blessed with. Pretty cool guy.
Yeah, it's good. It's good when you have teens that are cool.
That's really
a God thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Some of our early conversations back in the 90s, you were working on rites of passages. Yeah, you were traveling around, teaching on it, researching it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell us something about that, because that's what this involves.
Yeah, that essentially serves as a background and a foundation for what I was doing. So I was teaching in a high school, had come upon a book by a professor up in Vancouver, and the book was entitled The Walkabout Papers, Maurice
That's right.
Gibbons. And it was looking at how in North America we lack any distinct or clear rites of passage going from adolescence into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the assumption that you get your driver's license or drink or go to university, but there's nothing really celebrated as a distinct movement from child to young person, young man, young woman. So we developed a program.
And many cultures of the past have found that critical.
Yeah, yeah. Some still practice it, but North America we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by that, started a program, initiated a program for our school to be able to teach thinking, really, deeper thinking and exploration of ideas and thoughts that were interesting to the individual and championing those.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward, we have children. I've got two kids, a daughter, an older daughter, and my son. And I wanted something that was going to take us from young Robin to adult Robin to man Robin. And so I wanted to read. So I was reading books on fatherhood, on what to leave your son, legacy. And I came upon a couple of interesting books. One was by Barna Research on the intentional father. And that's a really good starter book. And another one was How to Raise a Modern Day Knight or Knigget. And that one really tied in with my other stuff in terms of rites of passage. And from that, I began to think of what I wanted to do for Robin, because I really wanted to get something that was a celebration of him coming into early manhood. All right, it's not a magic thing, boom, you're a man. It's a rethinking, it's a celebration that brings to attention to him, but also to me, that this is no longer a child. You know, he's making heavy-duty decisions. He still needs support, but he's also growing to do his own research and making life choices. And my role as a parent is receding as he steps out into the role of not only enjoying the benefits of making great choices, but also suffering the consequences of bad choices. We want to try to alleviate the bad as much as possible. So I wanted to develop something, so I did. So a combination of the background, the walkabout, and an intentional rite of passage, modern day knight, intentional father, and some other books, I came up with this little idea that I was going to run him through. Not run, that's not the right word. Come on, get it on, pick up those feet. You know, I wanted to orchestrate a special event where he would go through a process, and then we'd have a celebration at the end of that process. So for me, the process was I contacted three men that I trusted that could speak into his life in kind of three different areas or themes. So I had a financial advisor, Shane, who I wanted him to speak to Robin in terms of what was the role of the man in terms of finances and how to be wise with finances, because we live in the world, you got to eat, you got to live. And if you get a family, you've got to be able to look after that family. And how that specifically relates to being a Christian. You know, without being miserly, without being crazy or spendthrift or anything like this, it was how to be wise with money.
Yeah, so just to make sure the listeners know, this is not we're not going to a verse in the Bible and going, here are the three things that you...
Good point.
This just makes sense.
Good point.
It's just, it's a celebration.
Yeah.
It's a recognition. You've survived the teenage years. And one of the things they need to be concerned about is making a living.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Makes sense.
Yeah. You want it to make sense. It's something I never got when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Ever.
No, I didn't.
Ever.
Yeah.
I had to learn it, and I had to learn the hard way, and there were some lasting effects from that that are not great. So I wanted him to become more aware of you know, being wise.
Right.
So you could point to some scripture passages, I suppose, in terms of you got to work. It's not about being lazy. So you got to work. So how do you work?
Yeah.
How do you look at money and what you're doing as this is God's?
Right.
It's not mine. Yeah, I've earned it, but by the grace of God.
And you need to, you need to have
what
that.
What do I get to keep?
You need to have that understanding.
Yeah.
That's right.
Versus... So that was the financial side of things. And I'll go through quickly the three men, and then I'll tell you the steps.
Yeah.
And then want me to do that? So the second person was our pastor. So I wanted a man to be able to speak into Robin's life in terms of what it means, not simply to sit in a church, but be part of a community, an evangelical community. And by evangelical, I don't mean the modern sense of evangelical.
Right. That's almost a four-letter word.
Almost. So
let's call it a Christian community.
Christian community.
There we go.
And responsibility in there, and being a part of, not just a taker. Not a Sunday morning taker. Sit there, get your stuff, get your inoculation, and away you go for the week. This was about being a part of a community, an intentional part of the community, but also what it meant to study the Word, why it was important to really get into the Word and know God. So I thought a pastor, and I trust Nick, our pastor there to be able to speak into his life that way.
Yeah.
Right?
So as a former pastor, I would have loved somebody asking me to do that.
Yeah.
It would be awkward. I'm not sure how, you know, I'm not sure yet what I would say, but oh my goodness.
I know.
To be invited by a parent into the life of their child, boy or girl, oh my goodness, I would have been so honored.
I would have invited you? Mm-hmm. You're too far away to commute.
Yeah, so you say.
This was only 4 to 5 minutes.
I'm not taking it too personally, okay, I guess. A little, maybe. Okay, all right, now that we, but that's a different
rant. So the third person, Chris, fellow that I've known, longer
he
than
was part of the church plant as well.
Kids, part of our church plants. Mm-hmm. I've known Chris for 31 years. Mm-hmm. And for Chris, who has three kids, mm-hmm. and who's been intentional in his kids' lives, mm-hmm. I thought, I want somebody that I know that can also speak into Robin's life mm-hmm. as a parent, mm-hmm. as a man who works, mm-hmm. as a member of a congregation, mm-hmm. as a man who's struggled and found his own ways through making life work, walking as a Christian.
Yep.
And so that was a more of a practical form, but all three, you notice, all three had a Christian characteristic. Mm-hmm. It was all, you know, how is God, or how do we relate to God in those, I say, three key areas.
Yeah.
Because they touch us. So how I did it was I contacted these three, and mm-hmm. they were, same thing, they were quite honored to be able to do it. And then I said, I'd give you the details ahead of time. So for each of them, I said...
Wait, before you get into that. We're actually, we're hooked up with Life Audio now, lifeaudio.com, and we do have sponsors.
Ooh.
So if you don't mind, we're just going to tease a little bit, and we're going to stop right now for just a few seconds to get a word from our sponsors. We'll see you in a minute. All right, welcome back. Thanks for allowing us to do that. All right, sorry to cut you off, but that seemed like a really good time to...
Yeah, that was an exciting sponsor.
So that's right. Let's go run and buy the stuff.
Let's do it. So I set up ahead of time, contacted each of these three, and unbeknownst, I told my son ahead of time I was going to be doing a little celebration with him. Mm-hmm. And I gave him a little taste in the sense of, Robin, I'm going to be doing a celebration with you as a rite of passage mm-hmm. going into manhood. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you more about it as we get there, but you are going to have to trust me on how I set it up. Because it's not just going to be you and me sitting down and have a father-son talk. We've done a lot of those. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something different. So he said, okay. He was open to it, probably intrigued. Mm-hmm. Wasn't jumping off the bandwagon going, woohoo, what is it? And so ahead of time, I contacted these three men who all agreed to do it. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop Robin off to first fellow, I think it was Shane, and he's not going to know where to go other than just to find you. And then it's up to you to speak into his life. And here's what I'd like you to talk about. So finances and living as a Christian and what it mm-hmm. means to be mm-hmm. a steward before God. Mm-hmm. And then, after about 45 minutes, an hour, gauging mm-hmm. around there, aiming around 45, they were to take Robin to the next stop. Mm-hmm. And Robin didn't know where he was going, other than the very first place where I dropped him off.
Very cool.
And when I dropped off, I said, see you in a couple of hours, mm-hmm. and left.
Very cool.
I said, you need to go in there and get a hold of Shane, he's on such and such a floor. So he did, and he kind of wanders in there, and half lost. And then Shane drives him off to the next person. And that was Chris. So Chris takes him downtown, and they go for a beer. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking. So he gets a real life situation of sitting down in a civil spot, having a beer, talking life. Mm-hmm. What does life look like as a parent, as a man, and mm-hmm. as a person struggling with
the journey he's going to be on,
trying to make life work as an individual, growing into be a man, the mistakes, watch out for.
I love it.
Think about it.
I love it.
Especially going into parenthood. Mm-hmm. So then Chris, he would be finished, and he was to take him and drop him off at another spot mm-hmm. to connect with Nick, a pastor.
Right.
And then Nick took him, and I think he dropped him off at the church, so Nick met him there, and they had a great chat there. Then after all those three were done there, their talk. Mm-hmm. We all met at Chris's place. I had gone downtown and I got some pre-marinated flat iron steaks.
Nice.
And they were good. Brought them back and we grilled them. My wife and a friend of hers, they made some salads and a couple things, and some nice garlic bread. And we grilled them up when Robin walked in and had sat down and had a superb meal. Steaks were just like, whoa,
man. Yeah, that helps.
So the meal was crucial as part of the celebration. As you can think about the scriptures, there's something communal and
there's a theology of eating,
right?
Enjoying it.
Things are kind of let down. You're enjoying something. You're sharing the enjoyment. Yep. And then sharing the different ideas that each of us talked into Robin's life.
You still kept talking into Robin's life at the meal.
Yes. It just carried
intentionally.
On. Intentionally. That's right.
Carrie was involved, your wife, in talking to that?
Just guys.
Okay.
So it was us five.
Okay.
So the three gentlemen, Robin and me. Mm-hmm. And we would speak, raise questions. You know, my first one was, so, what did you think?
Yeah.
And he was blown away. You could see it, and he was articulate. He said, this was unreal.
What did he feel? I mean, if you don't mind, he's okay with you sharing this.
Yeah. I think he felt elated. Mm. I think he felt honored.
Yeah, that's the word I'm thinking here.
Yeah. That, I took the initiative.
Yeah.
Not just to simply go lazily through life.
Yep.
And say, you're getting married, okay. Oh, you're buying a house. No, this was, I really want to speak into your life in the time that I have. And I'm going to do it intentionally.
Yep.
So that's why I like that title, The Intentional Father. And I wanted to make sure that it was meaningful. We weren't just going for a beer and having a chat. You can do that anytime. Mm-hmm. This was, we're going to take some serious themes because I'm taking this transition, planting a flag. You know, I happened to be at 20. I could have done it at 16, 14, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, bar mitzvah or anything like this. Not that I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. But this is when I had come upon it. I've been thinking about it over the years. And then, boom, I thought, I'm going to do something about this. So we talked about it around the table. So he felt elated. He felt honored. Mm-hmm. I think respected.
Because we were treating
him as an older individual, not as a kid anymore.
We're
saying, welcome to, and I think I even used that language, welcome to the fraternity. Mm-hmm. Right? You're in a growing club now, if you like, of becoming yourself an intentional man. Mm-hmm. I said, and you're not there yet. Tonight's celebration doesn't mean that you're now, you're a man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What it does is it plants a flag and says, here's the demarcation point. Mm-hmm. Now we want you to, and we're coming along beside you. So these three gentlemen, plus myself, you know, we are here to continually guide you. Mm-hmm. We want you to have the freedom to be able to contact any of them saying, hey, can we talk? And they're all really on top of it.
They would be open for
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a part of that. He was, I think perhaps, I don't want to use the word stunned. I think he was a bit surprised at just the way it went down, how I had it orchestrated, all set up. And then I wrote up a little saying about becoming a man and outlining it almost as a prose poem that I gave him. And I told him, you know, I want to take this at some point and I'm going to frame it, but I'll do it up nicely. And I said, and I have one more piece to give you, but that's coming a little bit later. And I didn't tell him what that was. Mm-hmm. That was a little, I'll tell you about that in a minute. That was a little pendant that he could wear around his neck. So I can talk about that. But this, and then after we finished the meal, and enjoy that, and talking, and listening, asking questions, then I asked all of us to stand up, and we prayed on him. We laid our hands on him, prayed over him. Mm-hmm. And then I asked him to speak. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, give him what you've been through. And I was in tears because he was so articulate. It was like a side I hadn't really seen a whole lot of. He just spoke how meaningful each of the men were, what they had to say.
Wow.
The finances, the theology, if you like, or the theology of being a man, living in a church and living before God. Parenting, just being a man, being part of the household, being part of the community. And his dad, you know, being eventually becoming a dad. Just don't make the same mistakes.
Right. Yeah, we've got lots to share.
Hey, man. But that's what this is about, right? It's that's why I like your title, you know, Good Enough Parent.
Yeah.
And so on, and parenting. When he finished, you know, we just, big hugs, and we talked about it. It came up a few times over the next few days. You know, he thought that was pretty cool. Carrie, my wife, asked him, so, and he had a lot to share about that. And that was pretty, it had a meaningful impact. It wasn't just, hey, we got together and had a celebration. It was, wow, this was something different. And he shared with some of his friends, and they were quite amazed by that.
Really? He shared with his friends?
Like some of them.
Oh, man, you scored. Yeah. All right, before you get to the pendant, let me ask a couple questions, because it strikes me, and I get the idea why you wanted just men. I understand that, and I definitely see the value of that. Would it have been beneficial for a woman to speak into him as a person, as a man, as a male? Would that have been added to the...
I can see a place for that. I didn't give it a whole lot of consideration as being part of this event, this celebration of his manhood, because he speaks so much with his mother, with Carrie.
With him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they talk
lots. But you would recommend that, maybe?
Yeah, I think there's a really good place for that, especially if you can get different women in there. What is it like from a woman's perspective?
Right.
Wife, mother.
Right.
A member of the community. You know, here are the things you need to think about.
Right.
Because it's too easy to think of the Venus-Mars trap, you know, better from Venus or something like that. Or we're just from a different...
Right.
Machine. Yeah,
we're learning. I should say I'm learning that, how I come across to men is different than often how I come across to women. And it's not like one's right, one's wrong. Yeah. It's just a different perspective sometimes. Yeah. Not always, but... And I don't know. That's new to me, relatively speaking. Yeah. It just is. So good.
So can I add something to that?
Oh, yeah.
What really, speaking in terms of understanding women, not from a goofy sense of, they're just wired different. They're just emotional, you know, things, objects, or people. It was getting back into the imageness of God, how we're created in the image of God, male and female.
Right.
And understanding better that we're a unity. It's not a bifurcation. It's not a split. It's not a platonic duality here, male, female.
Right. It shifted from that.
Yeah.
You know, in the Middle Ages, and people talk about that, a patriarchal society.
Yes.
And I'm buying it.
Yeah.
I do think there has been a polarization that is deadly.
It's unfortunate. And I'd say it goes back further than the Middle Ages, but that's another talk.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I appreciated. So even in my talks with Robin, were to be becoming more conscientious about women and their roles in our lives. We don't dismiss their emotions.
Right.
We don't get necessarily caught up in emotions, the same as we had to guard against getting caught up in our projects and forget our emotions.
It happens.
It's an ongoing process of understanding women are individuals still created in the image of God that we need to take seriously and learn to listen to better and to be able to communicate with better.
And enjoy.
And enjoy.
And honor and all
so
those things. We have to learn that better.
Yeah.
We do. All right, so my next question is, you did this for your boy. How about the parent who's listening now that has girls? Can you see the same thing happening with the rite of passage for women?
And I'd say yes.
Yeah. Would that be interesting?
Carefully. Understanding again that same thing that we're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
So there's a male There's the male world.
Yeah.
Not as, you know, beware, you're just going to end up marrying a man child or not perhaps marrying a man child.
Caveman.
No. It's understanding the, I don't want to put words in Carrie's mouth,
mm-hmm.
but there are different ways to be able to handle the world.
Mm-hmm.
Different perspective, different reaction or response to mm-hmm. things that happen in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And caring. There's aspects that I see more dominant in women than I do in men, and that's mm-hmm. that caring, that fostering, that nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he loves his mom. He's not a mama's boy.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
He loves his mother, and that
yeah.
is so cool.
He honors
they
him.
Talk a lot.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
So for the women's for women, young women mm-hmm. becoming stepping across that line
yeah.
if you like, of becoming women
yeah.
of age. Big time.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be huge.
To have somebody, a couple of women speaking into their lives too, yeah. particularly one who's struggled with the inequities.
Yes.
Who have been affected.
Yeah. And who's got it figured out and not bitter, or hopefully, you know.
Well,
that
yeah.
might be part of that, but that's where
I'd
say
able to process
a few
that
women.
Well.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Save all kind of struggles.
Yeah.
I love the idea of having both.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I would agree.
All right, so the pendant.
Pendant. One of the things I wanted that came to my mind as well as I was contemplating setting up this process, this celebration mm-hmm. of manhood, was something that he could carry with him as mm-hmm. a constant reminder. And I thought of a ring, thought of a bracelet, and I thought a pendant, something he can wear around.
Oh, I was thinking tattoo. But
yeah, well, there's. the last time I tried doing tattoos, I just left big scars. So I gave that up.
Another
leave
rite,
that to the pros.
Another rite of passage.
that's right. A wrong of passage.
You don't want to have a scar from your rite of passage.
No,
that's not
the idea is celebration, not a hospital trip. So I came up with this idea of what could really stand for the virtuous man.
Mm-hmm.
And what came to me was Ephesians, the armor of God.
Yep.
So I sketched out something quickly in my notebook, and then eventually culled something together online
mm-hmm.
and contacted a local jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a picture of breastplate, armor
mm-hmm.
breastplate,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted a sword in there somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and a belt across it. So the belt of,
yep.
belt of truth. And I thought, some other symbols too, the crown. You know, we're royalty.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just foot soldiers. We're royalty. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted a crown in there. I thought, a little garland, because the garland celebrates it. A red garland, if it was in color, then that's part of royalty.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted the Christian connection too that was a little more obvious. So
mm-hmm.
the cross. The cross in there, and then the cup. You know, that, so that getting back to the communion.
Yep.
So that celebration of Christ and
yeah.
the community as well. So I had them arranged on there, and then I had three words that I want to put in there. And I had three Latin words, honoris, veritas, and virtus. So honor, virtue, truth.
Mm-hmm.
The jeweler, he sketched it all out and did it up in a much nicer artistic format.
Yeah,
and show that to me. We went back, actually just about one iteration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, yeah, you nailed it. And his idea, rather than sort of carving something about the size of a silver dollar or something,
okay.
or in Canada, a toonie,
they
call it, you know, a $2 coin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like about an inch and a half across,
mm-hmm.
something like that. I had that in mind. He was going to carve it and be a 3D relief or something
mm-hmm.
like this. The jeweler, Marcus O'Brady, in Kelowna. A little shout out to Marcus. Great guy to work with. He came up with the idea of a stamp.
Hmm.
So a blob of silver and carve a stamp, and this stamp will be in it. So again, that seal. I love the idea.
Yep, a lot of symbolism with that.
Yeah. So it took a few months. I wasn't in the big
This period. Legitimate jewelry. This is a valued piece of...
Yep. So in the end... When he was all done, he said, come on, it's all ready. And I mm-hmm. came in, and he had done a blob of silver.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all polished and shiny and stuff like
yep.
that. It was your grays and tarnish a little bit, and then this stamp in the middle, almost like a wax glove.
Yeah.
With a ring.
Yeah, nice.
And so you get the full relief.
Yep.
Of all the symbols that are in there, and the writing in there, and again, it's about the same size.
So you could see the writing clear enough.
Yeah, you got to look closely because the writing is quite fine.
Did you go over the writing, the words,
yes,
with him, and the whole all the symbolism?
Yep.
You covered that with him.
Yeah, I had that. I went over it, that little writing piece, that little prose poem that I said I wrote.
Okay, it was in there.
I went in there and went over that, and the finale of that little prose piece was Proverbs 3:4, 5, and 6.
You know,
trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways.
Yeah.
Acknowledge Him. And when I read that off, he laughed and says, that's what Pastor Nick told me too. And I thought to him and said, hey, that's truth. You hang on to that. Mm-hmm. You put God as number one in everything you do. Everything. Mm-hmm. Business, life, medicine, your relationships, everything in your life. He's number one, and you really are intentional about that. Then your life is going to be
all right. A couple questions. Yep. First of all, if one of the listeners wants to find out more about that thing, the pendant?
Pendant.
Would you be willing to chat with them?
Absolutely.
It doesn't sound cheap, but if they're interested.
Yeah.
Okay. So contact me, bill@gospel-app.com, and I'll hook you up with Blaine.
That's great.
Second question. That would be the same pendant that a woman would wear.
I'd make it more elegant for a woman.
Oh.
Because this, I wanted something that was kind of rough.
Oh.
Masculine.
Oh.
You know, the rough and ideas we have is being masculine.
You caveman, you.
That's all right. There's a part of me that sometimes that sort of breaks through.
But the elements.
The elements. The element, you know, the
truth,
fine figure,
honor.
Yes.
Say.
Yeah. And that's what I liked about this blob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the blob is kind of this unformed us, this coming into perfection.
And sealed
But there's this
seal. There'd be the royalty.
Yes.
The sword would be important. The belt would be important. Yeah. I mean, that image of Paul in Ephesians 5 is it's not sexual. It's male and female.
It is. And with the stamp being so clear, you get that sense of perfection in the midst of the rough.
Mm-hmm.
So for a woman,
coming out of the rough.
You know, a nice, elegant one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would really, really shine.
Okay.
I would say.
All right. So,
okay.
What about
can I say something quick?
No.
Okay. His reaction to that when I gave it to him, which was only a couple of months. Yeah.
This is recent. This is fresh off the hot off the press.
I said, you know, here's the last thing I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a box and had a little leather thong just to hold it for the time being because I had to order a silver chain for it.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen his reaction. It was priceless. It was like, wow. You know, and he's studying it and looking at it. And it's got some heft to it.
Yeah.
It's not going to give him a broken neck or anything.
Right.
It's and he wears it all the time.
He does. That was my question is this legit for Gen Z? I mean, or they look at that and go, it's kind of old, Dad. I mean.
Not at all.
Really?
He was, you could see the delight in his eyes. And again, I think I tapped into honoring him.
Yeah, everybody wants that.
It wasn't a cheap gift.
Wasn't anything cheap
about it at all. And I explained the words and stuff. I said, this is kind of the capstone, if you like, of our celebration. This is a reminder, constant reminder.
It's not cheesy.
No, not at all.
Yeah. All right, so I'm just going to push you on this one. You know, many parents who are listening won't have that good relationship with their teen. They're struggling, and they've just survived teenage years, and it hadn't been pretty, and they're feeling like not good enough parents, and they're not quite sure what their child feels towards them anymore.
You're talking about me.
So how would you shift this to, or what would you support a parent who does not have a good relationship with their 20-year-old?
Part of my reading, in terms of staying on top of trying to be an intentional father to my daughter and my son, were some writings about, maybe you've got a messed up relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll confess, one with my daughter isn't the best.
Okay.
And I'm struggling to try to make that work. But that's the thing, I think, is not giving up. You don't just give up and say, you know, that's the way it is. No, I'm still intentional. I'm reading, praying about.
You would still do it.
Yeah. And I'd look for different ways, perhaps, and acknowledge right up front. Listen, you know, many ways that I've screwed up.
Right.
But this is something I want to get right.
Right.
Would you come?
And you may not. You may not like. You may be defensive. That's fine. Welcome anyway.
Yeah.
You may be angry at this. You may, some of the stuff that I've done in the past may trigger.
Yeah.
But please let me do this for you.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it in 10 years. Something like that.
Great way to say it. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be dangerous, too. If somebody's got a grudge, a child, a 20-year-old has a grudge, and they feel like they haven't been heard, and they feel whatever, that dad's a hypocrite Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or mom's a, you know, a negligent Christian, they may go, this is exactly what I haven't liked, and blah, 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 blah,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
All this church speak, and you still do it.
I'd still do it. I just, I would caution, if you like, or advise the intentional father, parent, to put down your guard and don't defend, don't justify, don't say a thing. Mm-hmm. Just agree, go. You're right.
You're right.
But this is one area that I want to get.
Yeah,
right.
I'm begging you. Let me do this for you.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd use the word beg, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, I really want to do something right with you.
Give me a short celebration.
Give me 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it set up. I want you to speak with some men that I trust, that I can see that you can relate to.
And that's important, the people you choose.
Yes, yes.
And it'd be better if it is some people that they trust.
I gave a lot of thought to who I was going to
put in there. No, this is really, oh my gosh, I'm jealous. I can see, I can see that being such value. And I'm thinking... I went toward my daughters. How my daughters would have really. Matter of fact, I mean, they're older. But is there a time limit on this? Can this be done for 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds?
When you're talking about the strained relationship, parents or relationship and situations, I'd say you keep it in the back of your mind, and you look for the opportunity.
That's interesting.
Down the road, as you keep on, you pursue. Pursue your kid as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
If they've shut the door, then you look for ways of communicating elsewhere, and you pray. I mean, if for the Christians in the audience, you got to rely on the Holy Spirit to change them as He is changing you.
The Holy Spirit loves your kids more than you do. Absolutely. We say that a lot in the Good Enough Parent.
Yep.
And we all want honor. We all want honor.
No kidding.
And we all feel like our parents haven't honored us enough. I mean, I haven't found a single who says that, no, my parents honored me perfectly. Okay. So let's talk about denial.
Yeah, that's right.
Really good. All right. We're at that time. I do want to do a final plug for the Good Enough Parent program. If you are a parent of teen or tween, or grandparents of teens or tweens, you might benefit from this. 15 biblical parenting tips. It's immersed in the gospel. It's immersed in attachment theory and neuroscience. There's nothing else like it. It's all online. You just go to goodenoughparent.online and register, and you get started. We immediately start sending you the 15 tips. We give you before and after surveys and see what you've learned and what you've learned about your child, their brain, why your child blows up when you make them eat their broccoli, that type of thing. It's I think you'll like it, and it's free. Gospel App Ministries is passionate about getting this out. We think there's a crisis right now in our families, and so we want to get this out to as many people as possible. So you can help by getting it. If you know a single parent, a couple, single caregiver who could use this, get the word out to them. We thank you ahead of time. I want to thank Life Audio one more time for hosting this podcast. Well, we'll see you at the next podcast. We'll be getting back to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm Dr. Bill Sinyard, Bill at gospel-app.com. Take heart, child of God.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.